7th, 2020. I am Peyman Motahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Tonight I'm going to cover the topic, are you an employee who the company that you work for, they are supposed to withhold income tax from your paycheck to give to the IRS or not? A lot of people take the answers to that question for granted. Well, of course, I work at my job, and every employer requires you to fill out a W-4 form to even hire you. So, of course, you got to have a withholding from your paycheck. Well, maybe, maybe not. We're going to take a fresh look for ourselves at the law and see what the law says, as published by United States House of Representatives, the federal government, the legislatures, and by as upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. So before we get to that, I want you to know every Thursday night I do this live presentations at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. And folks, to find out about this, what you want to do is go to Freedom Law School's website at livefreedom.org. Okay, and what you want to do click on the Freedom Hour. We go to Freedom Hour on the top right. You do that, and you see that here are the information there to join us on YouTube live broadcast and Facebook, and also on Twitter's program. So you can click on that. I'll get you there. So that's where our Freedom is. And our homepage, be sure to sign up for our free freedom education package right here, folks, to learn how to live free and be free, folks, okay? All right. So we're going to go, and I'm going to give answered questions to you laser. Bam, bam, bam. So it's going to be a ride you've never had before like this. So we're going to go look up the law for ourselves. And, folks, thank you for the Internet. We can look up the laws for ourselves, not rely on government lawyers, liars, and judges to mislead and deceive us. We can find and read the law for ourselves, okay? So what we're going to do right now first is look up a U.S. Supreme Court case called Gould versus Gould and the Meese versus King. Very simple, short parts, just to give you the context about this question. Are you supposed to have money withheld from your paycheck for taxes or not as a wage earner or salaried person? So let's go to the screen, folks. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to search. I use DuckDuckGo, by the way, not Google. Google spies on you. Okay, DuckDuckGo is a very good private search engine, okay, that doesn't spy on you. Let's put on the G-O-U-L-D space, D period space, G-O-U-L-D, and hit search. That gives us, that's how you look up anything you want, folks, Supreme Court cases like that. Here it is, ready to go, okay? Now, it comes up, the answer, Gould versus Gould is right here. Okay, you can open that link in a new tab, and when you go there, it gives you first, okay, let's zoom in a little bit more on this. It first gives the syllabus or the summary of the case. Let's go to case itself, get the whole case, okay? And we open that link in a new tab. There it is. I already have it open for you, Gould versus Gould. And this is the case. And here it is, Gould versus Gould, 1917 U.S. Supreme Court case. We're going to scroll down to the relevant part of this case, at the tax case in 1917. And what does it say? This is very important. In the interpretation, which means understanding of statutes or laws, levying taxes, imposing taxes, it is the established rule, well-known rule, not to extend their provisions. Provisions of what? Tax laws. Not to extend tax laws, their meanings, by implication, beyond the clear import of the language used, beyond what the language of the law clearly says, or to enlarge their operations. Operations of what? The tax laws, right? So as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. Something's not listed in there. It's not taxed. It's not there. If a person, activity, or thing is not taxed, is not listed specifically, it's not there. Now, here's the last kick your important part. In case of doubt, they are construed or interpreted most strongly against the government's power tax and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Got it? This is very important to have the context of this thing before you go on. There's no tax in my implying it's got to be there. If it's not there, it's not there. Okay. Let's go now. We're going to look up another U.S. Supreme Court called Meese versus King. Okay. All right. So, I think we have a technical issue, something with my computer, folks. My technician is going to fix that while I handle things for you. Okay. But the important thing to remember about this is that this was a unanimous Supreme Court case. All nine of the U.S. Supreme Court justices agreed on this well-established, well-known rule that goes before that. This is since times of the American Constitution. Well-known that if a tax is there, it must be clearly laid. Why? Because the power to tax is the power to destroy. They can destroy it completely. Take everything from you. 100%. So that's why it's important that when it comes to taxes, they have to be very specific, very clear. Otherwise, the taxing power could be misused and abused and destroy people. That's what the Supreme Court has said. It's very well-established rule that there's no taxing by implying. There's no taxing by implication. Where to go? Okay. So we're going to go now to another Supreme Court case. Guys, let me get this thing straight down on my computer a little bit more. Here we go. Let's go to my screen. Let's go. We're going to look up another case. This time I'm going to look at a case of Meese versus King, M-E-E-S-E space, B period space, King, and hit search. Here it comes up, Meese versus King, okay? And Meese versus King, okay? Now, I already have it open for you, folks. Here it is, Meese versus King, okay? In 1987 U.S. Supreme Court case. Now, here, the relevant part of the case is up a little bit up higher, farther. Here it is. Okay. It says, here it is. It is axiomatic or self-evident, obvious, that the statutory definition of a term, that means a definition of a term in statute, in laws, a legal definition of a term, right? In the law, if something is defined, excludes the unstated meanings of that term. If something is not there, it's not there. Very important, folks. Very important. In laws like the Internal Revenue Code, look at this whole Internal Revenue Code. This is federal tax laws right here. They don't miss words. They're not worried about making it short. Oh, we don't want to make the word long. Definition long, would then list other stuff that's obviously there. No, they use tiny font, toilet paper, thin paper, big thick book, 10,000 sections, tens of thousands of subsections, folks. This is my own 20 plus year old personal copy I keep, again, because the fundamentals don't change, okay? And all this tapping. You see, it took me two decades to develop all those good key sections I know, okay? So that's why I hang on this old book, don't get the new one. So it's got to be clearly laid out in the law. Let's go back to it now. So what do they say at the Supreme Court? As judges, it is our duty, their duty to construe, which means understand or interpret legislation or laws as it is written, not as it might be read by a layman like you, not the average man, or as it might be understood by someone who has not even read it. See, like you'd never seen these laws before. Okay, I'm going to show you these laws to you. Be ready, you're going to be surprised. Now let's get back to this. We're going to look up a few more laws now. We're going to here look up here section. We're gonna, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to 26 USC. House.gov. This way we'll see the federal laws. There are 54 categories of federal law. They're called United States Code, or USC for short. 54 titles, okay, by different categories of subject matter. They're listed in the federal laws. They categorize them. It's easy to find railroads, money and banking, bankruptcy, taxes. So we're going to look up category or Title 26, 26 USC. So I type in 26 USC, and then I add House.gov at the end. Why? Because this way, you know, we're going to get the official version of the laws. Here it is. You open it up. I'm linking a new tab. Here it is, Office of the Law Revision Council of the U.S. House of Representatives. I'm gonna zoom it for you a little bit more. Here it is, U.S. House of Representatives, Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States Code, right? Which is, as it says here, United States Code. It is a consolidation and codification of subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States, right? There it is. We're gonna go down, browse, and you can see different categories of titles. Like agriculture is number 7, banking is number 12, okay, education number 20, food and drugs 21, here's 26, Internal Revenue Code. So you can just keep clicking on these pluses on the left and get those specific sections this way. But I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to type up these specific sections. I'm going to look for like 3402. I'm going to go type in 26 space, USC space, 3402 space house.gov. Remember that this whole thing is the official website of the government. The lawyers of Congress put this together, this whole page, okay? So we're going to open 3402, 26 USC 3402. See, it didn't come up. 3401 came up. Oh, here it is, 3402. Open that link in the new tab. And here it is ready for you. 3402, income tax collected at source. Here it is. Requirement of withholding. What does it say? The relevant language says every employer making payment of wages shall deduct and withhold upon such wages a tax determined in accordance with the tables or computational procedures prescribed by the secretary, right? So every employer, folks, that's key. We're talking about employers on making payment of wages. Okay. So we're going to go look up these terms. What do they mean? Okay, I'm going to go look up now section 3401, 26 USC, 3401, house.gov. Oh, it came up. Let's open it up in a new tab. Here it is. 3401, definitions. Okay. It says, for the purposes of this chapter, the chapter only, what chapter are we at? Okay. Let's go figure that out. It says from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, subtitle C, Employment Taxes, Chapter 24, Collection of Income Tax at Source on Wages. So what does it say? For the purpose of this chapter, the term wages means all remuneration. Okay. For services performed by an employee for his employer. Oh, so wages is anything that's paid for service of employee for his employer. Okay, we have to look up these terms now. Employee and employer, right? So let's go look up these cases, these sections. Give them one more time. So I look up again 26 USC 3401. GetHouse.gov. Okay. Is that was 3401 or 02? We got to look up now, Joe. What's that next? Oh, 201 next one. Because mine erased. 202. I'll look up 2. Okay. All right. It's 1. Okay. All right. We got 3401. Okay. So here we go. 3401. I open up another tab for that. And here is 3401 definition. Now we got to go down after wages, folks, because that doesn't give us enough information about this whole picture. We got to look up these definitions of employer, employee, right? Here we go. Let's look up employer, right? For the purposes of this chapter, the term employer means the person for whom an individual performs or performs any service of whatever nature as an employee of such person. Oh, so employer depends on the word employee. So we have to look up the word, okay, you know, employee, because that's the key. You see all these definitions all connect to each other? I'm going to show you the key connection now. Okay. Let's go. We're going to look up section employee right above it. For the purposes of this chapter, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or an agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. The term employee also includes an officer of a corporation. Ah, so you're going to be, if that's the key. Employee is the key. Okay, that includes, right? Officer, employee, elected official of the United States, state, or any political subdivision. Okay. Ah. See? That solves a lot of the problem for us right now already. Okay? But you find it rather odd that it only talks about officer, employee, elected official of the United States or states. You know, and includes instrumentality of them. I mean, where's the regular private sector worker? And why is that not included in here? I'll tell you why. Because we have to look up the word United States as state. You're thinking, oh, everybody knows what the United States means. Everybody knows what state means. No, we don't. These terms, you cannot take them for granted. That's very important that we understand things very clearly and be sure about what these definitions are, okay? So I'm going to go look up with you right now what these definitions are because they're critical to understanding these things, okay? So let's go online. I'm going to go to my screen again. We're going to go to duckgo.com, okay? We're going to go look up here again. And we'll look up 26 USC 7701 and then House.gov to get the official version from the U.S. House of Representatives. There it is. Here come definitions. We'll open up the link in a new tab. So here are definitions, and that's critical. Why are these definitions important? Because the U.S. Supreme Court said in Meese versus King what? Something listed there means something else is not there. If something is defined in the law, that means everything else that's not in there is not there. And there's no implying Gould versus Gould, so you cannot imply taxes. You cannot imply things in definitions that's not there. right? So here it is. It says, I'm going to use this title. Oh, wait. I think we have another section for definitely United States. What was that subsection on the United States, Joe, for this chapter? Remember that one? That was another section. That was the United States. Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing, folks. I'm going to show the general definition, but the same thing goes in there. See if you can get it to me, please, because for that chapter, there's a specific definition, okay? So, folks, what I'm going to show you is that, generally speaking, in the Internal Revenue Code, the definition of the United States is one thing. But for different chapters, some other specific definitions apply. We got to go by those very specific definitions, right? So here we are. You know, we're going to go to the general definition, the entire Internal Revenue Code. What does the United States of State mean? That's amazing. If you find this, you'll see that. Then we're going to go to this chapter on withholding of income tax. It has a specific chapter of its own. I mean, definition of its own. Okay? So let's go to my screen. So 7701 says definitions when used in this title, Internal Revenue Code. Look, they define all kinds of stuff. Person.
That is the one.
Corporation. For that SAP chapter, this special definition. That has no definition, I think it does, doesn't it? I think it does.
3401 uses
that. Okay, all right. So here it is, folks. They define corporation, domestic, foreign. Look at that. They define United States and states, right? Let's read them together. Because the term United States, when used in a geographical sense, well, that's the only sense that matters. The geography, what land mass does it cover? It includes only the states and the District of Columbia. Huh. Well, how about the word states? Because this only mentions specifically only Washington, D.C., District of Columbia, and no state is mentioned specifically. California, New York, Florida, they're not listed. How about the term states? Well, the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia. Wow. Where such construction is necessary to carry out the provisions of this title. Wow. So the whole thing is Washington, D.C. Yeah, D.C. here, D.C. there. That's all there is. The entire Roman Code, the tax laws are written fundamentally for the income tax. By certain chapters, they could use different definitions. So if there's a different definition for that chapter, fine, we'll use that. But since there isn't, this is what we got. So you might think, Paymon, I cannot believe this. How can it be that this thing talks about only employees of federal government? That's the way the law was written. And that's not the way I wrote the law. That's the way Congress wrote the law. So if they wanted to do it differently, they could have done it differently, but they did not. Obviously, they knew they didn't have the power to do it differently, so they didn't do it differently. Okay, so you might be asking, why did they do this? Very good question. Because the federal government has restrictions on its taxing powers in the 50 states. But in Washington, D.C., and docks and yards and buildings, territories given by states to the federal government, and other territories, they can do whatever they want to do. The taxing restrictions on the federal government do not apply to D.C. and U.S. federal territories because they're not states. They're not like California, New York, or Texas. That's how they got around the constitutional limitations. We used to talk about all these Supreme Court cases called Boucher versus Union Pacific Railroad, Stanton versus Baltic Marine Company, Eisner versus McCumber, many other cases that talked about what's income, non-income, definition of income, what's taxable income, you know, direct versus indirect income tax, what's indirect tax, what's direct tax. And most patriots throughout the decades talked about that. But it was not necessary because they found a loophole to write these tax laws, and nobody would know better. Okay? That loophole was write the laws for Washington, D.C. The federal government can do whatever they want to do. Now, I'm going to show you how that was done in this search. We're going to do right now. So we're going to go look up this case of Downs versus Bidwell. Okay, and we're going to hit enter. And normally I don't go to Wikipedia, but this is a very long 1901 U.S. Supreme Court case, about 100 pages long. Okay, and this case is, you know, about 100 pages long. Three different judges gave an opinion for the majority, and four judges gave an opinion for a minority. So you have five judges in the majority. Three of them ruled. Said this, one of them said this, another one said this. Minority said this. So that's why it's a very long court case, okay? So Wikipedia summary is very useful in this case. I will use Wikipedia, okay? So here we go. What does it say about Dallas versus Bidwell? Let's zoom on this a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Dallas versus Bidwell was the case which Supreme Court decided that whether U.S. territories were subject to the provisions and protections of the U.S. Constitution. Okay? The resulting decision narrowly held by 5-4 that the Constitution did not necessarily apply to territories. Okay? Particularly in those dealing with revenue taxes, which would not be allowed by the Constitution for the proper states within the Union. That's the key. The Constitution does not apply to D.C. and territories, especially when it comes to taxes. You see, and that's the loophole that was used by the communist traitor U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1930s to write the Social Security income tax laws was done a similar way, and the general income tax also was done under him in 1940s. Now, the minority predicted, the minority of those judges, that this kind of a terrible thing would happen. They didn't know exactly how, but they knew it. And they talked about it in their decision. Okay, here's what they said. Okay, here is the dissent written by Justice John Marshall Harlan. That's his picture, folks, right? The great dissenter, due to his many dissent in cases that restricted civil liberties, including civil rights cases. Yep. So, what did he say? The idea prevails with some. Indeed, it has expression in arguments at bar. And we have in this country substantially two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution. That's the 50 states, it means, that all restrictions of the government power applies. With all its restrictions. The other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument, meaning outside of U.S. Constitution's restrictions. By exercising such powers as other nations of earth are accustomed to, which means unlimited dictatorial powers. That's what it means, right? And he says, I take exception to say that if the principles thus announced should ever receive sanction by a majority of this court, right? In other words, if the majority ever accept this idea, which they did, unfortunately, right? A radical and mischievous change in our system will result. And it did. A radical, mischievous thing has been done. We will, in that event, pass from an era of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by a written constitution into area of legislative absolutism. That means the legislature, Congress, can do whatever it wants. No restriction by the Constitution when it comes to tax, especially, right? It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside the supreme law of the land, that's the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, finds lodgment or place in our constitutional jurisprudence or system of laws. See, folks, he saw it coming, an evil day. There's a reason why this whole thing is hated by everybody. The system that makes you guilty. Yeah, you know, and to prove it innocent. The burden of proof is on you to prove your innocence. You have to confess on these tax forms under oath. It's all true, correct, and complete. You have no right to be silent as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. You have a right to free speech. It's the First Amendment. The Fifth Amendment of the Constitution says you have a right to be silent. Well, you don't have it here in the Revenue Code, the demand that you file at confession from under oath. Because the law was written for Washington, D.C. The elected officials, people that work for the bureaucrats, the judges, that law was written for. So you are not the employee that's subject to withholding. Unless you are a bureaucrat within D.C., legislature, a judge, or one of the corporations that the federal government has created, the Federal Housing Administration, the Federal Reserve Board, the Export and Import Bank, all those corporations that they created in D.C., they're employers. And the people that work for them, they're the employees. They must withhold from the what the Import-Export Bank pays to its employees. Okay? What the Federal Reserve Board in D.C. pays to its employees. Okay? What the Security Exchange Commission pays its employees. Okay, that's who the withholding was written for. But you, the American people, were never told of this. You were lied to, you were deceived. And the thing you have to follow and think of tax applies to you, would never apply to you guys in Washington in the 50 states to begin with. Okay. We're going to go to your question and answer session now, guys. Okay, let's go to your question and answer sessions, guys. We have a call number, folks, you agree to call for questions. The number is 657-383-1755 for your live questions. 657-383-755. And then you got to press 1, folks. If you have questions, when you got to press 1, and by pressing 1 on that telephone keypad, it will let us know that you have a question, and you know, we'll take your question at that time. Okay, all right. Now I need to help people get the question on YouTube on my screen, guys, because it's not on here. Okay, so hang in there, folks. I'm gonna address the question on YouTube and Facebook also out there in a minute. Let me get that for my assistant to get that going for me, and I'm gonna answer your live questions. Meanwhile, I gotta make an announcement before I forget. It's important that you all know that. Because I don't want anybody to say, "Hey, well, you didn't tell me, I didn't know." Folks, the fundamental course that I started teaching way back in 1994 to American people about the Constitution, about your rights, freedom, the IRS, how to live free, is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. Is the course of action for those who are committed to living a free life. If you're committed to living a free life, you definitely want to have this course. It was originally $130 for the whole 9-week course. It was one night a week for 2 hours and 40 minutes. You know, this 9-week class. $130, it went eventually to be $300 about 21 years ago. Since then, I've kept the price the same, $300. However, that course will go up in price June 1st to $400. Is my screen ready, guys? Let me know when I'm ready. Okay, to $400. Okay, how do they keep up with inflation? I'll try to make it as affordable as possible for as many of you as possible. But it's got to go up with inflation. And now I have it available also, not only on CD for you to listen to, but also it is available on our website for you to stream it and be able to listen to it as you drive in your car, on your smartphone, whatever you might be doing, you can do that. So it's even made more easy for you to either put the CD player in your car, listen to it, or listen to it on your smartphone or personal computer as you prefer, whatever you want to. Okay. And this course, folks, I'm going to show the screen what it looks like now. It's something you definitely want to have. Okay. Here we go. So if you go to our website under course packages, double click on that. They all come up. You go down, all these other packages include and are based upon this course called A Practical Road to Freedom Level 1. Let's click on that. Okay. And here it is, folks. This is the course that comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Unconditional money-back guarantee. 9 classes. Check out the extensive, detailed table of contents. What you're going to learn is right now it's $300 plus $20 shipping. It is going to go up from $300 to $400. Okay. And you can listen to streaming if you go down to the very bottom. Click here to access the level one course. Once you pay for it, you, you click on that. It's available on now. It's the first time I've shown this ever publicly. This you get, and then you open that link in a new tab, and we give you a password. You enter right here, and you open to put the password in this area. There it is, in this area. And you enter, and the whole course will be available for you guys, you know, to listen streaming in your car. Okay? So, but I got to tell you one more thing. The level two course is going to go up also. Level two course, not many are interested because it is more advanced course. But I got to tell you about that also because it's my favorite course. Because level one course is like elementary school. Level two is like high school. So level two gives you a lot of legal research, writing, and the challenge of the government. And the legal stuff in there that you really want to know. It's a level two course. I mean, it's really all one course, you could say, but in order not to force anybody to take the whole thing, I cut up in half, so to speak. So level two course is also been, it's been $350. It's going to go to $400. But if you get a level two course with level one course, it'll be only $300. Right now, okay, so you can get level one course for $300 right now, level two for $300, and both of them combined for $600 plus $20 flat rate priority mail shipping. So the, you got a chance to get it all for less. Coming for June 1st, okay, it'll be $400 for level one course, $400 for level two course. But if you get them together, okay, will be, you know, $700. And yeah, let me show you level two course, folks, here as well. When under course packages, when you click on that, you go down and you see other freedom courses. So you click on the other freedom courses, open that link. And when you do that, other freedom courses, here's level two course. And level two course, when you open that in a new tab, you see this detailed description, advanced legal skills you want and need to know on how Live Free is in here. Okay, it's actually a little bit longer because some of the classes are over time, the level one course. Okay, all right. So can I get a question to people now? We ready to go? Okay, we have a question, folks. People asking from area code 347. Remember, for your privacy, folks, do not give me your last name. Only your first name is all I need to know. To protect your privacy, tell me if you have a free freedom education package and then your question. Oh, about the free freedom education package, folks, look at my screen, yeah. Okay? Okay, So if you here, you see on the front page, you want to sign up for our free freedom education package because for two reasons. On the left-hand side, you're going to get out all these lessons sent to you at no charge once a week and then more, okay? Not spam. These are all lessons you want and need to know, you know, isn't it? Also, folks, when you fill out here, get started now. You fill out this information on the right side and click on this, yes, I want free freedom education button. When you do that, folks, you're going to be on our email list. And guess what? One of these days, I know we're going to get cut off on YouTube. We're already going on BitChute, okay, as a backup, because YouTube cuts off people. This way, you'll be able to find us. We'll be in touch with you. Okay, it's important for our connection not to be cut off, that you be in touch with us this way. Okay, so do that, folks, and we'll be in touch on a permanent basis and educate you to live free. Okay, my friend, call from America 347. What is your first name?
Yes, how you doing, Paymon? This is Fred. Yes, I've already had your freedom information package. Question that I have is that I had mentioned before that in New York we have two U.S. senators and a congressman, and you know, Schumer, Gillibrand, and then the congressman Jose Serrano. They are unresponsive to the mail that I had sent out. And they are not, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, so they're not responsive. They have not responded back. It's the information that I got from your website. And I did send, what I had with my employer. I likewise had submitted to them, paperwork, and they are just unresponsive. It's like, they don't. It's almost like they're under the gun, and they're not going to do much of anything, particularly in New York, because it's a Democrat stronghold. And
it's okay.
Just,
it's okay. It doesn't matter. They doesn't matter. The Republican, Libertarian, Communist, Democrat doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You gave them an opportunity to correct you in case you were wrong, and they didn't. So you're right. I mean, look, we are getting the laws. You're getting the laws from the Congress's own website. You print it out. You include it.
Yep.
No, you want you just heard somebody tell you something on internet.
Right.
No, you got the law straight from the horse's mouth. Plus, here's a U.S. Supreme Court backing you up, and you don't just say this court case says that. You give them the photocopy of the court case. So there's no way that you're wrong. You're absolutely right. But you are doing the right thing. I'll give them one more chance to correct it. In fact, I'm going to modify those letters to the Congress in the upcoming weeks and months and make it more assertive. Not just to say, show me if I'm wrong. I'm going to put a language in there that, hey, you must stop this. You must stop this IRS managers, Department of Injustice lawyers. These guys who are deliberately and knowingly enforcing the federal income tax in violation of the laws written by you, the Congress, and as upheld and defined by the U.S. Supreme Court. So what you should do is to hold congressional hearings, bring the management of the IRS in there saying, hey, why are you guys misapplying income tax? Any reason, excuse? Who made that decision? Okay? Oh, you don't have an answer? You're in charge. You allow this to happen. Let's vote. Impeach the guy. Impeach means accusing him. Accusing him of corruption, of not following the law, of not following the law. And now that person will have a trial at the U.S. Senate. It could be very brief. And the U.S. Senate shall, upon majority of votes, can remove him from office. And this process should happen repeatedly with the top layer of the IRS and the U.S. Department of Injustice. Just like you see right now going on with this Trump, the FBI and CIA and Department of Injustice got together to get rid of candidate and President Trump. It's coming out now. You see it on Fox News, right?
Yep.
Same thing. Guess what? They guess what? They're trying to impeach Trump and remove him. Guess what? Congress can live with any federal employee, any of them, and the judges too. The judges too, don't forget. Oh, yeah, they could make that judge in the Court of Appeals judge from Ninth Circuit. Come on, man, we want to talk to you. Why do you, in this case, why do you ignore the law that we say? Why don't you uphold it?
Mm-hmm.
Your duty is to uphold the law, Mr. Judge, not to ignore it and change it to what your vision of government is. People do not elect you, Mr. Judge.
Mm-hmm.
You are an unelected official.
Mm-hmm.
We have an American taxation without representation because you do not represent the American people, Mr. Judge. We do. People vote for us as Congress of the United States, not you. Why aren't you upholding the law as written by us? No answer. Can I explain it? You're fired. We accuse you of corruption, of violating the law, breaking the law. Let's set the Senate. We're charged. You have a right to defend yourself. We're going to accuse you. Let's go Senate. Who, upon conviction, will fire you. Wholesale. Cut the heads off. Bam, 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 bam. And this is our First Amendment right and duty for every one of us to do this thing. So I'm going to get on this thing. I'm going to invite you to join Freedom Law School. Get this out there. Okay? Any other questions, Fred?
I just want to bring clarity. My employer said that in order for them to stop withholding, I have to fill out a W-4. I have to write that it does not apply to me, and I have to prepare an affirmation explaining that and basically reserving my rights in every which way, and submitted that. And okay, they honored that part, but as far as the state, they're apparently unaware of the state taxing laws that is based upon federal tax law, and I cited the statute under that, you know, under the New York State consolidated laws, and they just ignored it, and they wanted me to fill out state taxing form. I said that has nothing to do with me, but. That's basically with that. And as far as pursuing a civil action, it's like you've already pointed out previously that the courts are basically rigged. You know, they're not going to follow the law. And I don't know if I'm going to get any justice if I take it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court because the Second Circuit is not going to follow the law.
No, you're not. But the way that the rigged game works is the federal courts rule against you. You go to court of appeal, same thing. Then you go to Supreme Court. Supreme Court deliberately does not accept that case for review. They don't want to touch it because they don't want to upset the apple cart. So the best thing to do is to go up to your employer to sit with somebody with this stuff in hand. Say, look, if I'm wrong, humbly, I want to be corrected. Please show me. Here it is, the copy of the law by Congress. You want to follow the law, so do we. If we don't, we're going to both break the law. I don't want to go to jail for breaking the law, neither do you. So let's follow the law as written. If you have another copy of the law that supersedes this, please show it to me. You put these sections from 26 U.S.C. 3401 and 3402 in front of them. Okay, and I'm going to put this up in our new letter that will be even better than the one you saw on our website. And that'll help you also. But you got to go up the chain. Okay, because how big of a company are you working for? How many employees does your company have, Fred? 10 employees? 1,000 employees? How many employees do you have?
Over 1,000.
Okay. The bigger the company, the more you have to work to get to the top.
Yeah.
You're working for a company with only 5 or 20 employees, you can talk to the president if you have to.
Right.
100 employees, you can get to them still. But when you get to be bigger ones, you have to go through that. Payroll clerk, payroll manager. Payroll manager, you're probably going to controller, the human resource director, CPA, you know, lawyer, tax lawyer. You got to go up the chain. So you need to do that with
payment. It was actually the payroll specialist that said that he's not going to change anything. Like he's an authority that
he
knows the tax law and
he
doesn't.
Is he a lawyer?
No, he's not. No, he's not.
He's asking for who's a lawyer.
Yeah.
That he works under. Who is a tax lawyer, legal tax counsel who advises him? You need to talk to him. Got it? That's what you got.
Yeah. Well, I would have to like resubmit paperwork. Yeah, I have to resubmit paperwork and perhaps in a different format. That's the one that you're setting up.
Mm-hmm. And you have to go to a higher level than that guy. You got to go above his head, maybe one or two or three more levels. Okay.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that there's no civil remedy that I could I can bring this forward to because of what they're doing. Because that's the only thing they would understand is being sued, but the courts, it creates it's like in a catch-22 situation.
They protect them. The courts protect the system at all costs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good, Fred. All right, let me get some of the comments that we have on YouTube, folks, okay? Thank you for your question, Fred. I appreciate that. Let's see. Vic and Lynn are very kind, thanking me for what I do. I appreciate your comment, guys. And now Vic asked about the 2020 census. What information you must give away? I'll tell you what. Good question. I was going to do a presentation on the topic, but you asked me, I'll tell you. All you have to put on there is how many people live in that house. That is it. How many people live? I think they're adult or kids, maybe they mentioned that. I don't know. But how many people live in the house permanently? That's it. Four people, eight people, two people. That's all you have to mention. Put that on there. Put on the rest. The rest of your questions are not authorized to be asked by the U.S. Constitution. They have no right to ask all these nosy questions. What's your race? What's your age? How many hairs grow on the back of your hand? Huh? How many of you wear glasses? How many wear contact glasses? Well, we need to know because we want to help people with seeing problems. We want to help the minorities, the old people. No. Okay? So all the reason for that, by the way, is because when it came to direct taxes in the Constitution, that had to be divided up among the states. A bill would be sent to New York, the population of back then of, let's say, 10 million people. For $1,000 per person, that would be, 1,000 times 10 million would be, $10 billion for New York to collect. How many people? And New York would allocate that amongst those people. So they know how many people live in New York to do that versus Vermont, a small state, has a population of only, let's say, 500,000, 1/20 of that. Well, they're going to send a smaller bill to the federal government would send a much smaller bill to Vermont to collect from its people $1,000 per person. So that was the purpose of the census, to know how many people lived in each state to be sent a bill. Vermont, for 500,000, got 1/20 of the bill that New York got for 20 times more than the population. That kind of thing. That was the purpose of it. But we got money from that. With deception, we have direct taxes on you, directly on you, because they wrote the law for Washington, D.C., and I'm misapplying it to people in the 50 states. That's what income tax is voluntary. You voluntarily are paying income tax that is meant to apply only to D.C. and D.C. people, D.C., citizens, residents, employees of D.C. Okay? So that's a very good question, my friend. Thank you for asking. Let's see. And Todd Stump says, thank you for giving me the guts to stop paying income tax for over 5 years. Great. I'm glad, my friend. My pleasure. And I'm not in jail, but I've had many hollow threats from the IRS. Yes, you look at many hollow threats, but Todd, let me suggest an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's wonderful not to pay income tax. Yes, because it's your money. You work for it, Todd, okay? But on the other hand, remember, we're dealing with a bunch of wolves, criminal wolves and thieves. So many people that leave alone, a few people that come after, and a fewer that come after even harder. So rather be alone, you need to get with Freedom Law School with our Freedom Packages to better protect you. So consider getting our Freedom Packages, my friend. Okay, let me show it on screen, okay? Okay. One of these free packages, Royal Freedom Package is the ultimate one. Everything's done for you. Simple Freedom Package is almost there. Beginner's Freedom Package, Quick Start, and Road to Freedom. These three are the inexpensive ones. From $300 to $900. At least start with these $300 to $900 programs. You can put half or third down only and make payment on these if you have to. No problem. And you can get these bigger programs also. Simple and Royal Freedom Package with a third down. But I recommend that you don't just do it alone, okay? Because I want to be to back you up. Because I hate to see you go to jail in case you're the one in a million to come after. All right. Glenn says, at the end of, let's get a question we have on Blog Talk Radio from area code 910. Call from America 910. You're alive on the Freedom Hour, Freedom Law School. What is your first name? And do you have a free Freedom Education Package yet, my friend?
Yes, Ann.
Yes, Ann. Do you have a free Freedom Education Package?
Yes, I think I have that.
Great. And how may I help you?
I've got a comment about the person that just called about getting his employer to stop taking his taxes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I did that because I did what you told us to do. I sent
mm-hmm.
the letters to the congressman. Then I
mm-hmm.
Filled out the W-4, and
mm-hmm.
I had to mark exempt on the
mm-hmm.
state and the federal. And
mm-hmm.
in one of your programs, you told us what to put down. So I put
mm-hmm.
on the W-4. I am not required
mm-hmm.
to fill out this form by law.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
So I did that and stopped everything.
Okay.
So he might want to do that. Or look back at your program
he,
that you had on that.
Yeah, he did. He did. So, yeah, that's true. And mm-hmm. you can put exempt on that, Fred. And put these code sections. I'll show you tonight on the W-4 exams.
But you still have to check. You still have to check those.
Yeah,
you have to check one of those boxes that say you exempt, and then right underneath there, everything that you said put on there. That's the only way they're gonna stop.
I'm planning to put that on our website. I'm right now literally in the process of finalizing putting that on our website within the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for reminding me of that.
Okay.
You're welcome, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate your reminder. I really appreciate you guys reminding me, folks. I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I forget things sometimes, too. Thank you.
Well,
all right, let's go.
They're not taking any
more. I'm taking more calls. Anybody have more questions? Ann, any more questions? Go ahead. If you have more questions, Ann, go ahead. What else is on your mind? Okay, Ann's gone. You can call back, Ann. I'm sorry, we cut you by mistake. If we did, please call back. We'll take care of you. Okay, let's see. Now, Glenn says, at the end of the day, you as a laborer for a company and as a workman who worth your is hired will have to sue the CEO and the CFO. That's the chief, the head of the company. In an Article 3 court of law with a legitimate judge with a proper signed oath and bond. Look, all this Article 3 courts that you heard, Glenn, is all baseless patriot mythology, baseless legal theories, okay? The problem is not that these judges mean Article 3 or Article 1 courts. It's not that. They're crooks. They're criminals. That's it. They're outlaws, okay? They break law because they can, because African Americans doesn't care. Look, more than half American people last election voted for a socialist communist to represent them in the United States House of Representatives with the Democratic Party. Look, I think people should vote Libertarian, vote Constitution Party. That's the party of the founding fathers. Jefferson and Washington, they're all would vote Libertarian or Constitution Party. They would not even vote Republican. But half of Americans have voted, more than half, socialist. Okay? So the Democratic Party is actually a socialist party. They're not Democrats. So these guys, they don't care. There's one government handout. So, you know, they get to break the law because the African American doesn't care, doesn't know. They just love authority, believe in the authority. Like, God, lead me for safety. Lead me, protect me. I need you. Thank you for being there for me. Big brother, mommy, daddy, government, my president, my governor. Oh, I'm glad you're there. Like, protecting the little child that I am. Thank you for the security, taking care of me. I'll be your slave just to take care of my needs. That's all I need. Okay? So that's what's going on, my friend. It's not that. And they're protected. IRS code section 6331E, I think it says that. Let me look it up. Protects the employers from suit by the victim. Yeah, 6332E. Yep. Effective. Honoring a levy. I'll show it up for you right now quickly so you can see that for yourself, okay? Here you go. Let's go to my screen. Let's go look up 26 USC 6332. And then House.gov. To get the official version from the U.S. House of Representatives website. Here it came up right there. There it is. Okay, surrender a property subject to a levy. So they're going to use this law, which applies to a levy, to protect the employee from withholding as well, right? And what do they say on here? Go down to E, okay? Effective honoring a levy or taking some victim's money. Any person in possession of property or rights to property subject to levy, about which levy has been made, okay, or who upon demand by secretary surrenders such property or rights to property, okay, to a secretary, okay, that's the IRS, shall be discharged from any obligation or liability to the delinquent taxpayer, okay? Bottom line is that the crooked courts have expanded this law to include not just the levies, they're taking up your money, but to anybody who sends your money to the IRS, okay? The change of law that anybody takes your money, even withholding, which is not here, it's not a levy. IRS does not demand your money to be sent to them. The employer demanded that you fill out the form to allow to send the money to the IRS. They're not covered by this law, but the crooked courts have applied it to employers also. That's why, Glenn, you cannot sue the employer. The CFO, the CEO of the company. I thought that you should be able to see them, my friend, okay? All right, let's go to more questions. Call from area code 570 we have. And next, after that, we have a caller from area code 347 as well. Call from area code 570. What's your name, my friend? First name only.
I'm Johnny.
Yes, Johnny. How may I help you?
Good, man. My question is about the W-4. Is there a penalty if I, the worker, don't sign that W-4? Like, am I going to get penalized?
Nope. There's no penalty. The problem is your employer. What are they going to do? That's the problem. The employer, they might say, you haven't signed it. We can't hire you. We can't keep you anymore unless you sign the form. Are you going to sign the form or not? So if they can take you without being signed, it's just fine with me. Any other questions, Johnny?
No, that's it, my friend. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's go to call from area code 347, and then we're going to go with the call from area code 479 after that. Call from area code 347. What's your first name?
This is Fred again of Paymar. There was a lady that came on, and she mentioned about a state form. which I believe would be the IT-2104. And I'm just curious to know, Premar, are you going to have information on that when you prepare the additional information?
I have not taken the time to specialize in every state tax agency's withholding forms. That would take a lot more work. At this point, I'm not able to do so. I'm just too busy. Don't have enough time to research every state law on withholding. In the future, okay. One of the things I hope to catch up will be that, at least of the bigger states, like New York and California, if I get a chance, I'll get to those. But most states go about what the IRS withholding is. If we exempt on federal, they go exempt on state also. California is not like that. They're very jealous. Maybe not New York either. But generally, that's what they do. But again, as long as they follow federal law like most states do, the exempt from W-4 on federal or not being withholding there, it would fall to state also. Okay?
So, Payman, like I pointed out before, they honored the federal part, but the state, they're not complying. The problem.
Oh, they did. Well, I have to take a look at that, my friend. If you want to do, you could do a private one-on-one consultation. If you want to pay for my time to research that for you, with you on the phone, with me, and come up with the answer that works for you about the form, I can do that. But I cannot do that because I got so much on my table I got to do. Like updated W-4 withholding on our website, that whole situation, that takes time. So I don't have a good, perfect answer for you right now as much as I wish I had one. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome, my friend. Call for area code 479. What is your first name? And do you have a free freedom education package yet?
No, I don't. This is Bradley.
Bradley. All right, my friend. Is this a first-time caller?
Yes, first-time caller.
So,
do you ever talk about property taxes?
I talk about them. Yes.
I pay my property taxes every year because, you know, I'm afraid they'll take my property from me if I don't.
Your question is how not to pay it?
Well, yeah, is that an option?
No. I'm afraid
I better
not.
Keep paying my property taxes. So.
Yep. That's by a local county taxes, and that's what pays for your sheriff. Your police, for the local roads, local schools. That's the primary way.
I'll keep paying that one.
But yep, that's the fact. America used to have only that. When Thomas Jefferson ended his presidency, his proudest accomplishment was he had no internal taxes by federal government at all. Zero taxes on anything inside America by federal government. And the states were mainly counties with low property taxes, pay for a part-time, maybe sheriff, maybe a couple of deputies, part-time prosecutor and judge. That's how it was done back in the old days.
I'll share this one with you.
What's that?
I've got one property that I rent out to a church. It was an old church building, and I bought it, and I rented out real cheap to a church, and I still have to pay property taxes on that one, even though you know, it's written that churches are exempt. They say I have to pay because I'm getting a rent check.
Right. That's technically correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank
you
for
taking the call. Do you follow income tax? Brad, do you follow income tax?
Yeah, I always pay my income tax.
Do you know that there's no law requiring you to? No, see, that's where you're operating on fear, my friend. You're operating on fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So what I suggest that you do, my friend, is don't worry about that chintzy property tax. The federal income tax is the one that is no law requiring you to file and pay income tax. IRS wants you to believe that you are weak, that they are all-powerful, omnipresent. You know, seeing you everything, and if you stop, oh, let's go get Bradley. He used to file income tax every year. He stopped. Guys, let's go get him. It doesn't work like that. That's what they want you to believe. They control your mind. Have you seen the movie Matrix, Bradley?
Yes.
Right? What is, man, remember the scene that Morpheus was to jump from top of the building to the other side in the program? And then before he jumps, he looks at Neo and says, free your mind. And then he jumps to the other skyscraper about 500 yards away. Remember that?
I remember.
Well, that's what he did. And the key was, and what Neo did, because he had not freed his mind, he fell down. Freeing up your mind is number one. The belief that
now,
are you sure
about this, though? I don't want to get locked in a box. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they like to come and say, oh, you know, we're going to lock you in a box if you don't pay or take all your stuff.
Okay. I tell you what, I'm going to show you a little bit of a quick review about this on our website, okay? And let rest of you call us for us hanging in it, because I'm going to take the Bradley to a quick little tour about this issue. So, Bradley, I'm going to give you a quick one because you need to go check this out for yourself, okay? First of all, you want to go to our homepage of Freedom Law School, okay? And on the right-hand side, sign up, you know, for the Freedom Education Package. You see on the right below area. Fill out the information down here. Click on this orange brown color button, and they confirm that you want to be in our email list. You'll be sent this information in these lessons, okay? These lessons we sent you right here on the left side, okay? And you're going to get educated every week about it, okay? So you can listen to these in your car, on your smartphone. Don't stay home stuck. Use that dead time in your car. Then what you're going to do, go to Education Materials and watch, open up the eye, open the education, and read this page first. Okay? Read this page, how even this judge, federal tax court judge, who filed a 1040 confession form, couldn't defend her confession form. You filed these confession forms, you could not defend yours, Nick and your CPA tax lawyer, because even the judge couldn't do it. It's very dangerous you file a 1040 confession form. It risks putting you in jail. She pled guilty, no defense, and she got 34-month prison sentence. If a tax court judge who rules on tax cases every day, Bradley, if she cannot defend a 1040 income tax confession form, how can you or your accountant or tax lawyer do better than her? You can't.
That's right, because the Fifth Amendment, right?
Exactly. You give it up. You give up your Fifth Amendment right to be silent. They use it against you. Okay.
You know,
now,
every time I sign that form, I don't know what the hell I'm signing. I don't like it. I feel that way every year.
Well, you can stop now, because now you see why, and you take the risk of going to prison. I'll show you. So you go down here, okay, and I got more about this judge situation, okay. And here's this article shows you proof that if you file income tax return like Judge Krupa, your chance of going to jail are over 10 times more than if you don't file, if you don't do nothing. You can do an override link in a hyperlink tab, okay, and see for yourself more about this issue, okay? This is IRS's own website chart of total criminal cases in all categories, and for your 2013, 14, 15, total convictions was about 3,000 people per year. You see that, Bradley? About 3,000 people per year, right? Now, another part of IRS's website on non-filers only is right here. Here's non-filers only, right? For same years of 2013, 14, 15, the convictions are, well, look at that. Only about 200 people go to jail. Well, let's compare them side by top, on top of each other. Look at this. IRS, most of the people they put in jail are filers. You take the non-filer number from the filer number, most people that file are filers. In fact, the number of filers they're going after is going up. Non-filers is going down. You see that?
Yeah.
All categories was 2,800 in 13, in 15, 3,092 for all categories is going up. But non-filers was 233, is going down to 167. They're leaving non-filers alone increasingly, because it's easy to come after filers more and more. Even the IRS sees that. Now you're thinking, Bradley, oh, well, everybody files up income tax, right? Wrong. Okay? Here it is. You know, click on these things I have here. Okay, on the clicking here. Check out the IRS, the real paper tracker by clicking here. Open that link in a new tab and see that non-files are huge. There's a lot of non-files out there. Okay, I got a video on this topic I even done. Okay? So here it is, folks. Here's a letter. You can see right here. I'm going to click on it so you can see for yourself. Okay? And we're going to zoom on this a little bit more. Where's my zoom button on this thing? Okay. Let's see. We got this wrong. Oh, here's a zoom button here. I'm going to zoom on this a little bit for you. This letter from the Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue Service in Washington, D.C., September 24th, 1998. Written to Mr. Duane Abel. You see that, Bradley?
Uh-huh.
And it says, thank you for your letter to Mr. Charles Orizonte, Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, dated July 7, 1998. We are pleased to provide you the following information, which is based on IRS's 1996 tax filing program. We estimate, they don't know, Bradley, there are approximately 63 million taxpayers who have not filed a tax return and initially would appear to have a legal requirement to file. In other words, Bradley, this is not the people that make zero income or made only $3,000 or $4,000 low income. These are above the minimum filing requirement number, okay, that they have. 63 million according to IRS's own best estimate. Not me, IRS. This is based upon 1996 numbers, 24 years ago. With population increase, it's about 80 million non-files now. 80 million. Well, according to IRS, last year, I think about 130, 40 million people filed, 140 million people filed in 2019. So let me see. About 104 million filers and about 80 million non-filers. Oh, that means that out of every three people, two files, one doesn't. One out of three Americans that above the file requirement doesn't file, but they're not in jail, right? How come? You assume that
prison.
If you're not filing, you're going to go to jail, didn't you? Right? But I showed you that's false, didn't I? And I showed you on the screen, you know, here it is on a previous screen. Now look at this. The number of non-files to go to jail in 2013 was 233. In 2014 was 192. In 2015 was 167. In fact, 2016, I looked it up, it's 159. It even goes down. Whereas everybody for all crimes was in 2013, 2,800. 2014, 3,268. In 2015, was 3,092. So if you get non-filers like from out of the total, you get the filers. Right? From 2015, you take 3,092. Take out the 167 non-filers. That means about 2,900 filers went to jail in 2015. 2,900 plus versus 167 non-filers. Do you see that, Bradley?
I see it.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? You've been lied to, deceived, hoodwinked. So go through this in more detail. Now, what you want to do in this presentation, why did Wesley Snipes and Irving Schiff go to jail? You watch this program, okay? Open this link, okay? And in this presentation, I tell you how to not go to jail for income taxes in this presentation, okay? In more detail, an hour. I can do that right now for you. So you go to watch this video, and there's another video, and then below that, these links, check them out, some more articles I got here. And IRS is collapsing from inside like the Communist Soviet Union did, okay? This is another presentation that I did back. It's over an hour long with the question and answer sessions. Watch this also. I did two different ones on this, okay? So you educate yourself about all this, and then you go back on our website, and you see our victory, how you can beat the IRS. I've beaten the IRS myself, FS Victories. And our students have beat the IRS. You can do the same thing too. This is a word of hope. I've beaten them. You can see that these victories. Okay. Oh, click on the plus, and there's more details with paperwork in there. And our students have with the IRS. Here it is. You want to see this thing, these victories, a little bit more about it? You click on the plus. The paperwork comes up. You can read about it, check it out some more.
Wait, what'll happen when they come and audit me?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you do this things right, the Freedom Law School way, for 6 years minimum, I guarantee the IRS will not ever be able to take $1 away from you, not even $1. The problem is accountants, CPAs, bookkeepers, enrolled agents are worthless. They should not even put up with the audit. They should say no and insist the IRS gives you an official notice of deficiency to go to tax court to challenge the IRS's bogus numbers and beat them there. But they don't know how to do that. So they milk you for more money to defend you from these audits, which you shouldn't go in the first place. That's what they do. Freedom Law School can take care of all that stuff for you. Okay? In fact, here we got to show you. If you go to our website again, okay, you get this. If you want, you're probably interested in a royalty package. You're a landlord. You got money. You're not poor like Fred, the wage earner. You can afford the only IRS peace of mind insurance, okay, in America there is. Everything will be done for you, my friend. Everything will be done for you. Freedom Law School handle all situations arising from IRS or state tax agencies, anything, criminal, civil, money, whatever, it'll be all done for you. The only one anywhere a program like this exists, it's only $8,000 for the first year. That's it. And each of the after that, only $4,000 per year, $4,500 for California. That's it. I could charge more. And many people can't afford more and should donate to Freedom Law School more. But that's what I ask for, to make as many people like Fred, who makes far less than you, allow him also to take advantage of these programs, which I keep low to help him be, afford it. Okay? Does that answer a little bit more of your question? Now you can do some homework for yourself. On our website, it's there on our YouTube channel. There's a lot more. Again, I'll show you that also. What you want to do on our YouTube channel, if you have more time, you can go look at it. Go on to Freedom Hour. Click on the Freedom Hour. On our YouTube link, open that link in a new tab, and there you see all the videos that I've done. So the ones I've done since January of 2020, watch those new ones. Find one that you're interested in and go from there. Okay, for example, one of my favorite ones is this one. Are you a United States citizen who is required to file an income tax with 841 deals? And another one I like you to check out is 3 weeks ago, who is required to file income tax? Watch this stuff, my friend. Educate yourself. And I will tell you this. Do not believe me, the government, or anybody on the internet. Read the law for yourself as written. And that's your start. And Freedom Law School will be there to back you up if you want to. All right?
All right. Thank
you. Any other questions? You're welcome, my friend.
Yeah, I've got. I got one more. So if they do come audit me, all I got to do is call you, and you know how to take care of them.
But you got to join the program, the Royal Feeder Package, before they audit you.
Okay. Good to know.
The program is all for one for all. Just like you buy life insurance, you buy car insurance, health insurance. You don't say, I got a car accident. You need car insurance now to pay for the car accident. No. You pay the car insurance company every month in case something happens, then they pay you. Otherwise, you get zero back, right?
Yeah. Do you do anything else? Like, you know, like if an intruder comes into the house and I shoot them, can I call you for that too?
Anything that comes up, you get unlimited consultation, and any and all kind of paperwork will be done for you at no extra charge. Just maintain your annual membership for the Royal Fear Package, which after the first year of $8,000, it's only $4,000 per year. And that's it. All of it will be done free at no extra charge.
All right. All kinds of legal stuff. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go to more of your questions we have on Facebook and YouTube. Okay. And John, my friend John, reminds you all that I've been exposing the crooked deep state since 1994. 92, not 1992, is when I learned about this stuff. I started this stuff 28 years ago, my friends. Thank you, John. Good to hear from you. Glad to know you're there. Okay. Glenn Wayne says you have to sue the office of the company almost always. Unfortunately, they're protected by the crooked courts. Okay. Okay. It's not because the courts are commercial. No, they are just crooked criminals. Look, the people in the FBI and CIA who framed Donald Trump, were they commercial CIA, commercial FBI? Come on. This commercial law stuff you hear out there, my friend, is just baseless. Look, I've been at this for 28 years, Glenn. And I used to preach and teach this stuff and similar to this stuff myself, like you did back in the early 1990s. When I was young, not all this white hair. I was more fit too. Okay? I've seen people do this stuff that you're talking about not work way back in mid 1990s. My gurus, they got in trouble. He said, doing this stuff. If it worked, I would be doing it, don't you think? I haven't filed an income tax then for 30 years. The IRS knows that. Why would they come after me? Name me one patriot leader who's been doing this commercial law stuff, big, like Freedom Law School, for over 10 years. Over 10 years. It's on YouTube. It's not in jail. Winston Shrout was another one of the guys that preaches kind of nonsense. There's a bunch of these guys that do this stuff, okay? And this misinformation, Glenn, floats all over the internet, and people pick it up because I want to be free, and I want to be healthy. I want to be fit like a muscular, beautiful swimsuit model or muscular athlete. Be healthy, and I want to get rich quick and healthy and free. And people promise that to you, Wayne. Glenn Wayne, okay? There is no such thing as a free lunch. Get rich quick, get healthy, fit, or be free by staying out of the commercial courts and go to a non-Article 3, go to Article 1 court, all this nonsense. Or HGR 193, Bankruptcy of the United States, UCC 1-07, UC 1-, you know, or citizen, or argument about I'm a national citizen, not a U.S. citizen. I'm a state or sovereign citizen. Okay? I've done a thing about this, by the way, or a presentation about this. I urge you to listen to it, watch it last year about these issues. Here we go. Let me show you my screen. Here it is on the top left, 8 months ago. Are you a sovereign state or a U.S. citizen? You want to watch this one because that explains a lot of stuff about this patriot mythologies to you. Another one is, why do IRS put your name in all capital letters 9 months ago? Okay. And you want to watch this one also that gives you a lot of information. Also, this one, 7 months ago. Can UCC protect your rights and property from the IRS? Okay, these ones, Wayne, will address your concern, my friend. Okay. Let's see. Bradley Oliver says, we'll give you on state inspector next to the governor telling everyone to stay home, not travel. But this part sent nursing home inspectors from an infected county all over the state. I'm sorry, my friend. I don't understand your question. To our most at risk. Funny how rules do not apply to those in charge. Of course, they protect each other. The judges are supposed to be the independent third branch government, but they're not. They're buddies with the other government workers. Okay. Yeshua says, how about the state tax form? What about it? Yeshua, give me more clear question. I don't know what you mean. Okay. Joe Martinez is thankful. Thank you, Joe, for listening and watching. And then, oh, Bradley, you were the one that asked about property tax. I see you called in, my friend. Thank you for calling, okay? And then Vic asked, do we have to pay capital gain taxes for selling a house? No. Vic, you know better than that. The entire Internal Revenue Code taxing scheme applies to Washington, D.C. Applies to those who are citizens and residents of the United States, which means D.C., not the 50 states, D.C. Okay? Look, I'm going to show you guys this whole United States business one more time to make it clear. Look at this, okay? We're going to go online and look at this. Look at 26 U.S.C. 4612, section 4612, house.gov. So tax on oil and petroleum, okay? Here it is. Okay, you want to look at that. See, that's what I searched. We open that link in a new tab. You could do it just like me. And here it is, definitions and special rules from Title 26, environmental taxes, tax on petroleum. Right? Definitions and special rules, right? They talk about what? It says, for purposes of this chapter, crude oil includes crude oil condensates and natural gasoline, right? They also defined petroleum product includes oil. And look at this. The United States means the 50 states. Whoa! The 50 states is there. And the District of Columbia. Furthermore, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Any possession of the United States, multiple ones, the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, and the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands. Wow. Oh, well, look at that. It includes many more stuff, okay? It includes the continental shelf areas. That's the seabed, with continental shelf, that's the seabed around the United States, like maybe the first 100 miles around the United States, that's continental shelf, okay? And look at this, including the far trade zone of the United States, like the Panama Canal. So no, we don't have to. It doesn't. All that applies to those in D.C. Vic, okay, the taxes on your house. Okay. Yeah, and Bradley, I got your message on you. Write a check for $20,000 a year to the IRS out of fear of losing your property. I guarantee you for minimum 6 years, I can keep you from even worst case scenario. But I can keep your property safe and your money by following the law and using due process of law. Let me show you one more video about this issue that you're worried about, okay? About this stuff. Let me show you here. Here it is. Let's go to our channel, okay? I did a presentation for all of you on the due process of law, okay, which is very important to understand. That IRS cannot just take your stuff, okay? Okay. Here it is. I did it just last week, in fact, it was. How to legally keep the IRS out of your pockets and keep your money. It was last week that I did that. Watch that, Bradley. You have rights that CPAs, accountants, bookkeepers, enrolled agents do not know. And the tax attorneys do know that, but they're very expensive, number one, and they all, number two, some of them are crooks, and number three, they always get you to be the slave and fomping of tax the IRS anyways, okay? They're not freedom-minded like me, so I help you be free, okay? All right, let's go to some more questions. Joe, Jose says, red pill time, let's go. Yes! We're going, brother. Share this video with everybody you know, folks. Put it on your Facebook page, Twitter, everywhere. Spread it, Instagram. Put this stuff out there, folks. Are you doing your part? Spread the good news. Vic asked, do I have to ask permission to add additions to my home on my own property? That depends on county and state law. I don't know. It's not the federal question issue. Okay? Your thoughts on stimulus checks, bailouts, how they will influence the economy? How it influence the economy? Well, economy has so much goods and services produced. you have so much money in the system. They're adding more money. There's more paper out there chasing the same amount of goods and services. So the value of money is going to go down in relation to the goods and services out there. It's going to cause inflation. The price is going to go up on everything. Food, housing, you better believe it. Yes, it's going to go up. How to start a business under 501c3 LGS? I wouldn't do that. If you're starting a church, first of all, Section 501c3 of the IRS code is for churches, not for businesses. Okay? So you don't need to do that. Just do your business as a sole proprietor. Why do you do that at all? There's no need LG to do that. Okay? Someone told the wrong information to do the under 501c3. Just be your own business. Okay? You could be LLC, limited liability company, or sole proprietor. Either one's fine. All right. I think we're done. Answer all your questions. Thank you for giving me your time and listening to my rant and rave. Hopefully it's been educational for you. Empowering for you to live free. But my friends, do yourself a favor. Do what you want to do in your heart. Number one, get some of our courses you want to get. They come with a money-back guarantee. Level one course with a money-back guarantee. Get it now before it goes up from $300 to $400 with a money-back guarantee. 3 months, 90-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Give it a try. Number two, share these presentations with your family members, with your friends, coworkers, on your social media out there. Put it out there. Facebook, you know, email to your friends. Have fun. Let's get the news of truth, freedom, love, peace, and prosperity. Everyone out there, folks. That's what this is about, folks. Don't let fear stop you from going forward, from growing, from learning, for taking positive, truthful action. That's what they want to do with you, with fear. They use your feelings, your emotions against you. Let your love of truth that you have in your heart, let that be your guide. Seek the truth. Understand the truth. Share the truth. Give someone else, another human being you know, or maybe you don't know. Give them a loving opportunity to discover the truth for themselves so you can free yourself and allow others the opportunity to be free as well. Thank you. I'll be back with you next Thursday night, 7 p.m. with another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. One more question. You can make, oh yes, Gloria asked, can you make payments on level one and level two courses? Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me, Gloria. Yes. On all Freedom Law School courses and Freedom Packages, you can put half or third down and make a payment. Okay? No credit check necessary. I trust you. Okay? I trust all America. And if you watch this program, you're a good person. I know that. I trust you're going to make payment and pay it off. I'm not worried about that. Money's not the issue, folks. We all need money to live. I got you. But it's not the goal. The goal is to be free. So, yes, I'll work with you on that. In fact, the bigger freedom packages, like the simple and royal freedom package, the royal freedom package, which are $5,000 for the first year and $8,000 for the royal freedom package for the first year, you can put only $1,000 down on those and make payment on those. Because that's what everybody wants. And one more thing you should know. If you're having, you know, money issues, you're interested in making more money, you're low income. Fred, those of you who don't are wage earners, you want an opportunity to make more money? Why not make more money to promote freedom? Okay, look at our website under course packages. Here it is. Go down the Freedom Opportunity Plan, the very last one here. Click on that very last link there, and here it is. You can make referrals to Freedom Law School, okay? and you can get paid up to $4,000 per referral. Yes, here it is. Fit right away. This is your read about it, folks. I explained it to you in there. It's there for it's up to you. One referral a month, you'll earn $4,000. A nice part-time income for many a good full-time income. Okay? One referral per week, you'll make $17,000 a month, almost $200,000 a year, tax-free. Tax-free. No W-4 forms to fill out, Fred. No W-2 forms or 1099 or W-9 forms. None of that is nonsense. I will send you cash in the mail in your party bill envelope with a bunch of $100 bills. You'll say, oh, this is nice. Like these. I mean, to have one on me. Let me see. I think I got one on me. Yeah, let me see. Yep. Yeah, I got one of these. Yeah, I do. Here it is. You see these? No, I don't have it. I got 50, though. See these? This kind of stuff. In the mail, this comes, arrives. That's it. Simple. All you got to do is love the truth and freedom and share it with other people. Check out the page, folks. Okay? Check out the Field of Awesome pages about this stuff. Explain it to you. Money's not the goal. The goal is freedom. But guess what? We do need the money to fight these evil duels. Right? That's the reality of it. So that's why I decided to make the program in a way modified to give you a chance to make money as well. So Gloria, thank you for asking the question. And you can probably get credit toward the bigger packages. Whatever you get the Freedom Law School, that'll be credited toward the bigger packages. So it's never a waste. You're not sure you want to check us out? No problem. Get that small program, Gloria, and move up later on as well if you want to do that, okay? Okay. Now Vic says, I'm looking to buy a church building. Do I have to pay real estate taxes on church building if it will be used for church purposes? If a church is used for church purposes, there's no tax on that in most states. Depends on state law. Now, if you are a Royal or Simple Phoenix Package member, you can get answers to all these kind of questions for free. Someone like Bradley has all his questions he wants to ask. I'll answer to him privately all he wants and needs about these questions for free. So Vic, you may want to consider becoming a Royal or Simple Phoenix Package member so I can help you with these questions that you have properly in full detail so you can make an intelligent, wise, correct choice that will benefit you at the same time. Okay? So thank you again for listening. Share this information. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel. Hit the ring button, okay, so you'll be notified of our Freedom Hour presentations and other presentations, okay? And have a good night, folks. I'll be back with you next Thursday night. Good night.